What were you expecting to happen this Christmas?
I'm expecting to go on holiday.
He's expecting to go on holiday. Of course you are, yes. That's a very good one. There's a lot of people expecting holidays. Anything else? Shaviz, I see that hand. Do you want to become a Christian? Yes, yes. What are you expecting for Christmas? What are you expecting to happen at Christmas time? Food, presents. Put on weight. Yeah, yeah, I've gotten my last belt loop. Yes. Anything else? Yes?
For Jesus to have a good birthday.
For Jesus to have a good birthday. Yes? Very good answer. Superb answer. Anything else? What was that? No other answers. Is that it?
Fine weather.
Yes. We could pray that one in. Well, but, you know, we've got to believe in miracles on that one for an Auckland Christmas. I wonder, this video clip, whether this would be something that you wouldn't expect at Christmas. Would you expect your Christmas to get interrupted like that? What a moment. The mall became a sanctuary. The shoppers became worshippers. The name of Jesus was heard above the beeps of FPOS machines and the buzzes of barcode readers. The Messiah, present in the mall. An unexpected Christmas, something that you wouldn't expect to happen as you're going about the busyness of your Christmas shopping, that there's an interruption of the word Messiah, of Jesus, right in the midst of your busy life. You wouldn't expect that, but I think that this Christmas should be, that we should be expecting the unexpected to happen this Christmas. Is that what you're expecting to happen? Something unexpected to happen this Christmas. Something that you haven't been expecting to happen at Christmas. Maybe somebody's out shopping at the mall. I won't say any names of malls, but and they're out there and they're thinking, I don't know whether this really is what it's all about. Franticness, busyness, fast pace, really worn out, had enough. I'm really wondering whether this is really what Christmas is all about. Maybe that's a God interruption right there. Challenging that person, God speaking to that person to seek Him this Christmas. Something unexpected going on. I think that when it comes to Christmas, we should be expecting the unexpected. And I think that's what it should be like. The prophet Isaiah described it like this. In Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with a child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. A lot of us who are Christians, long-term Christians, probably know that verse really well. The name Emmanuel, calling Jesus Emmanuel, means God is with us. And I think that's what we should expect when it comes to Christmas time. We should expect to somehow know the presence of God with us, that we should know it in a fresh way, in a renewed way. Maybe we should experience it for the first time for some of us, that we would know Him as Emmanuel. We would expect that we would know the presence of God with us this Christmas. Is that what you're expecting? It's how it was for Joseph when he was engaged to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Just before Jesus was born, Joseph was visited by an angel in a dream. And the angel tells him that his fiancée is going to give birth to a baby and his name shall be called Emmanuel. God with us. I think if you were ever to sum up what Christmas is about, His name shall be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. Is that what you're expecting for this Christmas? That God would be with you. That He'd interrupt your busy Christmas shopping. Emmanuel, the Messiah, Jesus,
God with you. That's who he is. The Apostle Paul described it like this: for God wanted all of himself to be in his son. All of God packaged in Jesus. You know, just after Jesus rose from the dead, he said, I'm going to be with you always. You can be sure of this, Matthew 28:20. Be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age. Are you sure of that? Are you sure of the presence of Jesus with you, not just here on Sunday or occasionally during the year, but every day that he is with you? He wants that assurance to be an assurance that you have without a doubt that you would know him, Emmanuel, God with you right now. Now, the big trillion-dollar question, we've upped it from millions to trillions with inflation. The big question is, this is, how can I know that he is? What would you be expecting him to be like if you really encountered God today, if you knew that God was with you? And though I think the Reader's Digest version of the answer to this question is found in a verse in Isaiah. I-S-A.
In Isaiah 9, verse 6, and it goes like this: for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What a fantastic verse. I think that sums up who Jesus is, who Emmanuel is. This is him. Isaiah gives five descriptive names of Jesus. And we're going to be looking at those over our Christmas series and picking up on these five names, five descriptions of what we should expect Jesus to be for us. And the first one is that he is wonderful. Is he wonderful to you? Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus is wonderful.
He's kind of wonderful. Yeah, Jesus is kind of wonderful to me.
No, Jesus is wonderful, man. I think if we're really expecting something this Christmas, is that Jesus will be wonderful. He just won't be, oh yeah. He will be wonderful. Not just, oh yeah, Jesus, yeah, he's wonderful. He is wonderful. There is a wow factor to Jesus. And he wants you to be able to know that without a doubt, that you would know that you know that he's wonderful. Maybe you're struggling this morning. I believe that he wants to remove those struggles, those doubts, that he is wonderful from you this morning. And the word means miracle, marvel, a marvelous thing, or something extraordinary, unusual, or astounding, which means it cause for a great sense of amazement. Is that how Jesus is to you? Amazing. There's a great sense of amazement, of wonder, of awe being in the presence of Jesus. I think if we really knew it, our worship on Sunday, our worship on Monday, our worship on Christmas Day will be something amazing. If we really captured the essence of who Jesus is, he's wonderful. Now you say, oh, but when I look in my Bible, it says wonderful counselor. That's not an adjective, it's a noun. It's a name. And just like I call Judy honey, we call Jesus wonderful. That's how we express it, because we know that we know he is wonderful. And the word is often used in the context of God's works and his word. And when you know him, this is what you can be expecting: to be amazed. To be amazed. To be standing in wonder of Jesus and the wonder of his life in you, the wonder of his miracles that happened to you, the wonder of his salvation for you, the wonder of his spirit in you, bringing life, bringing freedom, bringing love, bringing joy, bringing peace. Bring in patience. Oh, some of us need that. Bring in
His presence within your life. That last one, self-control. Wow. The presence of Jesus, the wonder of Jesus. You know, He's wonderful. He's wonderful. He'll fill your heart and mind and bodies and lives with amazement as He works in you. Is that what you're expecting of? The wonder of Jesus. To be filled with awe. Wow. That's who He is. He's wonderful. There was a guy, he was traveling on a train, and he was sitting there, he's looking out the window, and he's going, you know, as the train's going along, chicka, 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 chicka. It wasn't a steam train. It was electric. And he's looking out the window, and he's going, oh, it's wonderful, it's wonderful, it's wonderful. And the guy's sitting next to him, and he said, what do you mean? What are you going on? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And the guy said to him, I've just come out of hospital, and I had been blind, and I've had an operation on my eyes, and I'm seeing for the first time for years. And as I'm looking out and I'm seeing out the window, everything is wonderful. I've forgotten how beautiful things are. They're wonderful to me. And that's what we've been praying this, for you this morning. That somehow your spiritual eyes would be open, that you would see the wonder of Jesus. That your spiritual eyes would be open, that it wouldn't just be, oh yeah, Jesus is wonderful because Isaiah 9:6 says so. Isaiah 9:6. And you've nearly finished. You're cheating. You're too smart. The wonder of Jesus. And as we follow on this message with some worship, be expectant of that, that you would encounter Jesus and know Him as wonderful. I think if He truly has, that's how it will be for you. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. Not only is He wonderful, but He is a counselor. There's another name for Jesus. He's the counselor. You know, somebody said that it's either He's a supernatural counselor or He's one giving supernatural counsel. I think that it's both. When it comes to Jesus, Jesus is a supernatural counselor who gives supernatural counsel. And this is who we should expect Him to be, a supernatural counselor who gives supernatural counsel. He's not like any other counselor. He's a unique counselor because He understands. UNDERSTANDS. He understands in bold your struggles. He gets it. He can relate to you. Hebrews 4:15 says, Jesus understands every weakness of ours because He was tempted in every way, but He did not sin. You know, sometimes we can be going through a difficult situation and somebody says, oh man, I really know. I can totally understand what you're going through. I totally really relate to what you're going through. And you think, you don't know what I'm going through. You've never been through what I'm going through. How can you totally understand? But when it comes to Jesus, He understands. He understands what you're going through. He understands exactly what you're going through. You come to Him in need of counsel. He knows your situation. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He understands your confusion. Have you ever been betrayed? Have you ever had a friend, one of your closest friends, let you down? He has. Have you ever been wrongly accused? He has. Have you ever had people gossip about you, suffered physical pain, physical need, felt lonely, suffered loss, been afraid, been at the bottom when it seems like there's no way up? He has. He understands when you're going through times like this. He understands every weakness of ours because He was tempted in every way. Just as we are. He understands. He understands. But what's more, He's here to help. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that we should approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and help. at the proper time. Some Bible says, and help in times of need. Hebrews 4:16. He understands and he helps us through the struggles that we go through. But not only that, he cares about us. He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, God cares for you, so turn all your worries over to him. Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the sky. They don't plant or harvest. They don't know, they don't store in barns. Yet your heavenly Father takes care of them. Aren't you more worth than birds? You are. Jesus cares for you. Why don't you tell yourself that? Jesus cares for me. He cares for me. If you really know him, if you have an expectant Christmas, to come and know a Savior who cares for you. He understands, he's there to help you, and he cares for you. Because he loves you. And there's nothing that can separate you from his love. Romans 8 verse 38. For I am convinced, some Bibles say absolutely certain, that they're sure that neither death nor life, neither angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us, you and me, everybody here within this room, from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, Emmanuel. God with us. Nothing can separate you from his love. And as you look to him and open your heart to him, he wants to bring that assurance, that certainty within your heart that he loves you. He's not punishing you like you think he is, because he cares too much about you to let you suffer. And that's why Jesus came. He came to take your punishment that you deserve on his body on a cross. And that means that you can stop beating yourself up, putting yourself down. He cares about you too much for that to happen. He's a counselor who understands you, who's here to help you, who cares for you, who loves you, and he also gives you wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom, W-I-S-D-O-M, and knowledge. I don't know what a cross or down or up it is, but Colossians 2 verse 2, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus lies all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? In Jesus are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Is that what you're expecting from Jesus? That I would have all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. You know, when you're wondering what to do, decisions you got to make, you need to make sense of something that you can't figure out, when you look to him, you'll get the counsel of wisdom and of knowledge. He'll show you what to do, and he'll help you make wise decisions. And you can think, wow, yeah, how do I know? You know, I find a lot of people, I find in my own life, I think, how do I know? How do I know Jesus has given me knowledge and of wisdom? You know, there's so many voices out there, isn't there? You know, people giving you advice, and you read the Bible and you think, well, how do I know Jesus is speaking to me in this? I think the final one here is the counsel of his peace. The counsel of his peace. And if anything at Christmas time, you know, when it comes to franticness, and some this is something that we're going to pick up on New Year's Eve, is this whole thing of peace. And I know we'll be preaching on that, but so I don't want to steal his thunder. But he counsels you with his peace. Zechariah 6:13 tells us, it is he who shall build his temple of the Lord and shall bear royal honor and shall sit on and rule on his throne, and there shall be a priest on his throne, and the counsel of his peace shall be between them both. The counsel of his peace. Do you know the counsel of his peace? at this frantic time, at this time when everyone's tired and worn out and feels pressured by all the things that they've got to do. I think when it comes to the Christian life, that you won't be like that. You'll be at peace. Knowing the counsel of His peace. And that's one way that you can tell Jesus' voice from all the others. His wisdom above all the other voices that you hear. His knowledge by knowing peace. Have you got peace in your heart? If I haven't got peace about in my heart about any situation that I'm facing, you know, I think the decision, what God is saying when I've got decisions or decisions to make or wondering what to do and needing knowledge and wisdom, when I don't have that peace, I know that God's saying no. This isn't the way. This isn't the truth. This isn't the life I want you to live. Do you know His peace? That's how you can know that you're really hearing the words of wisdom and knowledge. Shalom is the Old Testament word. Completeness, it's talking about. Fullness, wholeness, well-being. Is that how it is in your life? Well-being. I've got contentment and rest of soul. Or is there a constant kind of niggle and struggle and wrestle going on within your life? The Jesus that we can expect to meet this Christmas brings you contentment, completeness, fullness, wholeness, well-being, rest. Is He with you? Is He with you? Will you let Him in? Not keep pushing Him away? He's a counselor who brings supernatural peace. You say, well, how can I receive that? Jesus is quoted as saying in John's gospel, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father and He'll give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because it neither sees Him or knows Him. You know Him. For He dwells with you and will be in you. And Jesus is talking, when He says another, He's talking about another of the same kind, another same of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. And when we say we receive Him into our heart, He comes into our lives supernaturally and He gives us His peace. He gives us knowledge. He gives us wisdom. We know that He cares for us. We know that He understands us. Why? Because He is in us. And He wants you to be open to a fresh infilling, to receive His Spirit into your life this morning, that you could expect the unexpected. And when you receive Him, He'll guide you into all truth, John 16:13, especially the attitudes you have about yourself and others. He can help you to face up to the truth of who you really are. If He's in you, He'll give you insight, understanding to the way that God wants you to live your life. He'll enable you to navigate through the ups and downs of life when He's with you, when He's in you. The big question is, do you know where you're going? Do you know where you're going? Back in November the 18th, 2006, there was a guy called James Kim and his wife Katie. They had their two young kids in the back of their car, and they left San Francisco. They were going on a combined holiday working trip, and they were driving along, and during their trip, they missed this turn off on one of the state highways, and they decided to drive 55 miles. That's 88 kilometers, according to my calculations, just instantly there. And down this interstate highway where they wanted to go, and it was stormy, it was middle of winter, and they were driving along, and James, he made a mistake. He was driving the car and he accidentally turned off the highway onto this logging road. You know what logging roads are like, unsealed things. And this is in a kind of real storm, whiteout, blizzard sort of thing. And they ended up winding down these mountain roads. And when they reached this higher elevation, it just began to snow harder and harder. And the snow was falling and it was getting worse and worse. And they became hopelessly lost. And finally, they became stranded in the snow. They couldn't move. James started the car up and he got the heater going and the car warm and until all the petrol was gone. And he started the car. And the battery went out. And they started to freeze. And they ate all the food that they had and then they ate their two kids. No, they didn't eat their two kids. I was just seeing whether you were there. You are listening. Good. They didn't eat their kids. They ate all the food. Katie Kim breastfed her two daughters. In a week of being stranded, James, he decided to venture out on foot and seek help. And he climbed down a ravine and over boulders onto logs and through the dense bush and into an icy creek. And one rescuer, he described it as a superhuman effort to save his family. Katie and the girls were spotted 2 days after James left to get help. And 2 days later, they found James' body. The Kim family had become lost. And they had to become absolutely dependent on somebody to save them. And it's like that for us. And what we're celebrating at Christmas is God's not superhuman, but supernatural intervention into this world that was lost. That it's lost its way. It doesn't know where it's going. And God's come dressed as a man we call Emmanuel to be with us, to help us navigate through this life and not get lost. The Bible tells us the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and to save that which is lost, which means Jesus came to help you when you're lost. When you're out of options, when he came to help you navigate through life in the big things and in the little things, he works in wonderful ways in your life. He gives you the counsel you need, the wisdom and the knowledge you require. He guides you in the counsel of his peace, and he cares about you. He understands you. He knows what you're going through. And he's here to help you. That's what the wonderful counselor does. And you can expect to meet him this Christmas. Let's pray as the worship team comes to just lead us in a time of worship where we become with an expectancy to meet, to be touched, to be filled, to encounter the wonderful Jesus who's here with us now. And to know his counsel. Know that he understands, that he helps us, that he cares about us, that he loves us, that he grants us that wisdom and that knowledge that we need. And he counsels us with his shalom, his supernatural peace in our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you today. We thank you that Christmas just isn't a tradition that we go through, but an encounter that we have with you. And Lord, we come as with an expectancy within our hearts as we worship to meet you. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't just be here in an hour and a half on Sunday,
But Lord, it would be with you in the mall on Monday, in the office desk on Tuesday. Lord, in the family, with the family in the lounge on Wednesday. Lord, in all the things that we're going through, Lord, that we would have encounters of you and your Spirit before us. We worship you. Come, Lord Jesus, touch us and fill us with your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. Let's just stand and worship the Lord of all creation. And exalt him with an open heart. Lord, touch us. Reveal yourself to us. May we know that you are wonderful. We'd stand in awe of you. Maybe you don't know Jesus is in this way. I want to make an invitation to you. We have this little pack here that tells you how you can get to know him. It's got a Bible and some information in it that will really help you get started in that track. And we'd love to give you one of those. There's some up the front here. Please come down and take one. But we'd like to invite you to come to the front, and we'd love to pray with you that you would receive the Spirit of Christ, the helper into your life, the one who gives peace, the one who gives wisdom, the one who knows all that you're going through, who understands and is here to help you. Let's worship him.